Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 starts out, "There is therefore." And that's a pretty big therefore. You say, well, it's no bigger than any other therefore. Well, when you understand what it's there for, then you understand how big it is. Because what Paul is going to do here is he's about to draw some conclusions from everything that he has stated up to this point. And the conclusions are glorious. Basically, there are two. I mean, you can divide it up in different ways, but they all basically come under two headings. And the first one is stated there in Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation." That's a conclusion. There's no condemnation. The title of this lesson, "No Condemnation in Christ." That's what it's about. And the second conclusion he'll come to is found over in verse 35 of Romans 8. And that is no separation. And the conclusions go like this, that in Christ, nothing can condemn us. And in Christ, nothing can separate us from the love of God, from salvation. So no condemnation and no separation. And this applies to all people whom God has brought by His sovereign grace to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to repent of their dead works. He says in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." He says, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And we'll see in the next lessons, well, in this one and the next, that to walk after the Spirit is to walk by faith in Christ. That's what it is. It's to follow Him. It's to cling to Him as our whole salvation, as our whole reason for being. And to walk after the Spirit is to walk in Christ, to walk by faith in Christ. To walk after the flesh here refers to an unbeliever, an unregenerate person, one who has not been born again by the Spirit. So when we draw these conclusions, there's no condemnation and there's no separation. Who does that apply to? That doesn't apply to everybody without exception. There are people who are going to be condemned, who are condemned. They're condemned already, John chapter 3 says. They're under the sentence of condemnation. Those who believe not, the wrath of God abides on them. Who's that talking about? It's talking about those who go through this life in unbelief and die in unbelief. That's what it's talking about, John 3:36. And there are people who are not objects of the love of God. They're under the wrath of God. God hateth all workers of iniquity. So what is our hope? Well, is there a way that I, who am a sinner, can stand before God and not be judged as a worker of iniquity? And the answer is yes, in Christ, based on His blood and righteousness, His righteousness imputed. So when Paul says there is therefore now, the now there is this. He's saying this is a present reality. There is therefore now, right now. This is not something we as believers are shooting for. This is not something that we as believers have as a goal. This is a present reality in our lives right now as sinners saved by grace. This is what I call in a message on TV, the near righteousness of God. His righteousness has been brought near. In other words, it's not religion tells you to reach for it, try to gain it by your works, by your efforts, by your dedication, by your prayers. But the gospel says it's already here. It's already here in Christ. He's already accomplished all of it. He's met all the conditions, and we're recipients of the blessings of His merits, His worth, His work. And so that's the difference. So there's therefore now no condemnation. Well, this therefore is basically, it's based upon three basic tenets of true Christianity. And that's what Paul is saying. Based upon these things, these facts, these glorious realities, There is therefore now no condemnation. And let me give you those three. I've got them listed in your lesson. Number one, and this one is the foundation and the basis of all of salvation. It's the foundation and basis of all Christian living. In these three things, Paul is showing us how we, by God's word, in God's word, are to look at ourselves by faith in Christ. And here's number one, every believer's legal standing before God in Christ. And that refers to our justification. What is it to be justified before God? It's to be forgiven of all our sins. Based on what? Based on the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Christ that washes away, cleanses us from all sin. It's not based upon our works. It's not based upon our going to church. It's not based upon our tears of repentance. It's not based upon our church membership. It's not even based upon our faith. It's based upon His faith, Christ's faithfulness, to do what He came to do, having our sins imputed to Him, for which He died under the death of the cross, cursed under the death, under the wrath of God, for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. That is the most fundamental, basic tenet of the gospel, of Christianity, how God justifies the ungodly. That's the revelation of the righteousness of God in the gospel. In other words, I cannot be condemned. I cannot be separated from God because God does not charge me with my sins. Over in Romans 8:33. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. I cannot be condemned. I cannot be separated because in God's sight, I'm righteous in Christ based upon His righteousness imputed to me. And that righteousness cannot be taken away from me because God gave it to me. It's a free gift of God's grace. And He doesn't go back on His promises. He's faithful. You see, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not... You see, all that language refers to this basic tenet of Christianity. This is the ground of salvation. So I cannot be condemned, I cannot be separated, because I'm righteous in God's sight, not based upon my doing or my suffering or my dedication, based upon what Christ accomplished alone as my surety, my substitute, my redeemer. And that righteousness cannot be taken away. That righteousness cannot be contaminated because it's the righteousness of God. The righteousness of the God-man, Jesus Christ. That righteousness cannot be diminished and it cannot be enhanced by anything I do. My faith, my repentance, my obedience does not add to the righteousness by which I stand before God. Now, aren't you glad? And that's the first thing. That's our legal standing. Now, Paul stated that because he said in Romans 6:7, every believer is freed from sin. That means justified. Sin cannot be charged to me. It was charged to Christ. He paid the debt. He satisfied justice. He brought in everlasting righteousness. He said in Romans 6:11, that every believer is dead indeed unto sin. Now, how am I dead indeed unto sin? I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Sin cannot condemn me. Sin cannot be charged to me. That's the way I'm to look at myself. And it's not by feeling. It's not by emotion. It's not by looking in the mirror. It's not by feeling good. It's by believing God's word. This is what God says of everyone who clings to Christ. He says we're not under the dominion of sin. Now, how can I say I'm not under the dominion of sin when sin contaminates everything I think, say, and do? It cannot condemn me. It cannot hold me captive as far as being condemned. I'm justified. That's what he's saying. And so that's the first thing. Therefore, because of this, there's therefore now no condemnation. Now, the second tenet and the third tenet has to do with our state in this world. See, the first one, the foundation. And I'll tell you what, you know, that foundation, you know, People, they'll deny it, they'll ignore it, they'll confuse it, but it's clear as a bell in God's Word. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's Christ that, who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. Now, the next two tenets have to do with our current state in this world. And the second one is this. Every true believer has been spiritually born again by the Holy Spirit and brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given spiritual life. And that spiritual life is the fruit and the result of what Christ accomplished in His obedience unto death for us. Because we are justified in Him, we shall be born again by the Spirit under the preaching of the gospel. And so all true believers have been made free from sin, Romans 6:18. And what that means is we've been liberated from the deceit and the darkness and the ignorance that Satan held us in bondage in unbelief. We've been brought to faith in Christ. We believe in Christ. What is your hope? What is your peace, your comfort? It's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we're no longer totally, we don't know everything, but we know enough. We know what God teaches us. That's what the scripture says when it says in John 6:44 that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And this, and you remember what he says, that how he draws us by bringing us under the gospel. And by the power of the Spirit, He reveals Christ. He reveals who God is. He reveals our sinfulness. He reveals who Christ is. And He brings us by the Spirit to believe in Christ. He gives us the gift of faith. He gives us the gift of repentance. And so He delivers us from the bondage of Satan's deception and brings us to faith in Christ by the light of the gospel. You remember in 2 Corinthians 4:3 where it says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God should shine unto them. And you know how Satan, you think about that verse, go read that sometime, 2 Corinthians 4:3 and on down. Do you know how Satan, his main tool of deception to keep sinners from seeing the glory of God in Christ, he keeps them looking to themselves. Because the next verse, I think it's verse 5 there, what did Paul say when he said, all right, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Remember, and then verse 5, you know what he says? He says, for we preach not ourselves. We don't preach ourselves. We don't look to ourselves. That's how Satan keeps people to see. Look to yourself. Look within. Y'all been under preachers like that, haven't you? Look within and find a reason to say no condemnation. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says look to Christ and find no reason for condemnation. You see the difference? Now, that's not a big difference to most people. What do you look within? Well, Paul showed us in Romans 7:14 through 24 what we're going to find when we look within. Oh, wretched man that I am. So we look to Christ. But that's the second. We've been brought to faith in Christ. But now here's the third tenet. As to our state on earth, all true believers are still plagued with the remaining power, influence, and contamination of the flesh that keeps us from attaining by our works and within ourselves the perfection of righteousness that is only found in Christ. And that's where we come to the old wretched man that I am. Now, what does that do for us? Does that keep us, as old Bunyan said, in the slough of despond? I've heard preachers tell stories. I can remember two that when I first come to hear the gospel, this one preacher talked about how he was in such despair for his sin that he thought about killing himself. And I thought, good night, man. Who are you looking to for salvation? You see, remember what I said last week. I won't repeat the bumper sticker. Don't worry. Everybody got up in there about that. No, I'm just teasing. But this, verse 24 of chapter 7, this old wretched man is a blessed place to be. Now, old wretched man is not always, not for everybody, a blessed place to be. The old wretched man that leads this guy to say, I want to kill myself, that's not a blessing. But this is a blessing. Old wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And here's where the tenet goes to. Here's where that third glorious reality goes to. That's what keeps us from looking to ourselves and keeps us looking to Christ. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Somebody asked the question, why does God leave us in this wretched state? Well, I'll tell you why. So that we understand at all times that He gets all the glory in salvation and we get none. I'm going to talk about in the message this morning out of Hebrews 3 how when you look at the history of Israel under the old covenant, it's a glorious history. Well, how is it a glorious history? All the glory goes to God. None of it to Israel. Because when you consider Israel, it's a pretty sad thing. But God, and that's why He leaves us in this glorious state of the wretched man. So that we'll know at all times God gets the glory. So that we'll know at all times that we're saved, we're preserved, and we'll be brought to glory by His grace and His power through Christ. And it's to show us at all times that we have no righteousness within us. It's all in Christ. And that's God's way of glorifying Himself in our salvation. So therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And what is it to be in Christ? It's to be united to Him. And how are we united to Him? Well, the Bible tells us in several ways. There's that legal union in our justification. God chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave us to Christ. We belong to Him. And Christ willingly took upon Himself the whole responsibility of saving us and keeping us and bringing us to glory. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is the will of Him that sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. It's all on Him. It's all conditioned on Him. Not on us. If it were on us, it'd be a failure. So there's that legal union. There's that legal union that shines forth in redemption. He died not for Himself, but for our sins imputed to Him. He redeemed us from our sins. That one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, perfect, pure within Himself, died guilty and cursed under the law of God, under the wrath of God, based on our sins imputed to Him. And we, in turn, have His righteousness imputed to us. That's a legal union. And then there's a spiritual union. When God the Holy Spirit brings us to put on Christ, as Galatians 3 says. What does that mean, put Him on? It means to believe in Him. It means to rest in Him. That means to look to Him. It means to cling to Him. It means to realize that He is my only worthiness, my only merit, my only righteousness before God. And repent of anything of me. Repent of my dead works. Repent of my idolatry. That's a legal, that's a spiritual union with Christ. Well, how do we know that we're in Christ? We walk not after the flesh. We don't walk in unbelief. We still have to fight unbelief. We still have doubts and fears and murmurings and complaining. That's all unbelief, isn't it? We have to fight it. We're in a warfare. As my old pastor used to say, the believer is not in unbelief, but unbelief is still in the believer. But we walk by faith. We walk by His Word. And look at verse 2. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, what is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? It's the gospel. That's what it is. Because where are you going to find life? Where are you going to find a law that demands life for us? Because the law can only condemn us based on our works. That's all it can do. You say, but I'm a pretty good person. The law can still only condemn you based on your works because the law doesn't look at you the way you look at yourself. So where am I going to find a law that demands life? Only in the gospel, only in Christ. Sin demands death. Righteousness demands life. Where am I going to find the righteousness, the perfection of righteousness within the law? Where am I going to find it? In Christ, by the grace of God. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the gospel, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law cannot condemn me. The law cannot charge me with sin. The law cannot kill me. The letter killeth, but the Spirit makes alive. I'm in Christ. So he says in verse 3, for what the law could not do. Now, what is it the law cannot do? It cannot. Listen, the law can show you perfection, but it cannot make you perfect. The law can expose your sinfulness, my sinfulness, but the law cannot cure the sin problem, cannot wash away the sins, cannot ignore the sins. The law can show me what it takes for me to be righteous, but it cannot make me righteous. The law can show me that I deserve death, but it cannot remove the sentence of death. For what the law could not do? Well, what's the answer? God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. That's the humanity of Christ, God-man. Made under the law. That means the law's condemnation was upon Him because of our sin imputed to Him. To redeem them that were under the law. To pay the price. To be a propitiation. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Christ had a human body, but He had no sin. He had a human body just like we have a human body. He had the infirmities of the flesh. He got hungry. He got tired. All of those things. He sorrowed. But He had no sin. He had no sin within Him. He had no sinful thoughts. He had no sinful motives. No sinful desires. No sinful goals. He was a perfect, pure human being. He was like Adam before the garden in that sense. But even better because He's God in human flesh. Without sin. And it says, and for sin. Now, some translations say as a sacrifice for sin. Well, that's what it's talking about. Because of sin. Because of sin imputed to Him, He condemned sin. I love this language. He was condemned under the law for our sins imputed to Him. But by His death as a sacrifice for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. By the giving of Himself. That death that's only to be attributed to His humanity, yet was an act of His entire person, which is a mind-boggling thought, He condemned sin. Now, Daniel says it this way in Daniel 9:24, He finished the transgression and made an end of sin. He finished it. He fulfilled it. Everything that the law requires of His people whom He represented was fulfilled in Him. And therefore, verse 4. Now, what was the purpose of all that? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what does it mean, the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us? Well, there are some who say, well, see there, that means righteousness is not only imputed to us, it's imparted to us. That's not what he's saying. Righteousness cannot be imparted. Righteousness is not a moral quality of character. Righteousness is the godly standard, the law standard by which all moral qualities of character are to be measured. I'll give you an example. When God brings us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can honestly say that we love Christ. But how would you measure our love on the scale of the law? Is it perfect love? Do you, at this point in time, do you love Christ righteously, perfectly, with no contamination or taint of sin, no fault of sin? We can't say that. And there's no part of us that can say that either. You say, Christ's love is perfect love. My love still falls short, but I do love Him. How do I know I love Him? I love His Word. That's why I want you to read that, those passages in Psalm 119. Do you love His Word or do you ignore His Word? Do you twist His Word? Do you deny His Word? Or do you love His Word? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. In His Word we have a biblical portrait of Christ. That's what this is. You say you love Him, do you love His Word? You see what I'm saying? But our love is not yet perfect. So when He says the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us, what is He talking about? Well, He's talking about the righteousness of the law fulfilled not inside of us, but for us in a human body, Christ, just like Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 2, that in His body, He bore our sins in His body on the tree. In other words, in a human body, for His people, sinful human beings, Christ fulfilled the law for us. He satisfied the law. He brought in righteousness for us. Now, some say, well, He's talking about faith. Now, think about this. When the Holy Spirit brings us to believe in Christ, we can say that we look to Him for righteousness. But there's no righteousness within us. And then He says in verse 4, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, again, walking after the flesh refers to an unregenerate unbeliever walking in that state of unbelief. Walking after the Spirit refers to one who's been born again by the Spirit, believing in, looking to, following Christ for all salvation, believing in Him for all righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. All right.